here in the mainstream media. Tune in from 7 p.m. to midnight right here on WBAI New York, streaming at WBAI.org.
99.5 FM, WBAI, WBAI.org, on the web. Stay tuned.
Somebody's hurting Pacifica, and it's gone on far too long. Yes, it's gone on far too long. Yes, it's gone on far too long. Somebody's hurting Pacifica, and it's gone on far too long. And we can't be silent anymore. No, we won't be silent anymore. No, we won't be silent anymore.
In the end, you'll still be you, one that's done all the things you set out to do. Stand,
there's a cross for you to bear.
Things to go through if you're going anywhere. Stand for the things you know alright. It's the truth that the truth makes me so alive. Stand,
all the things you want are real. There's a midget standing tall, and the giant beside him about to fall.
Gentlemen, good morning, good morning, all you WPFW listeners out there. Today, welcome to NBAI, thank you very much, and because this is a special broadcast today, this is a special edition of the WPFW LSB show, which we do every fourth Friday of the month, and today, we have some issues that we have to discuss with our listening public, okay? And in the coming weeks, WPFW listener members will be receiving referendum ballots to vote on bylaws changes. This window is very, very short in terms of time. Those ballots are scheduled to go out in approximately 2 weeks. And from that point, we have about 30 days to, we have 30 days to complete this this referendum. And the issue of the bylaws is very complicated. These changes that are being proposed have come about as a result of lawsuits and such. And this morning, we are going to share as much information as we can about this whole situation so that you, the listener, and you, the staff out there, you know, will get a better understanding of what's taking place and what's not taking place. So it's very important that you listen. And later in the show, we will be opening our phone lines to get your thoughts about these things. And it's a two-hour special. So once again, we're going to be talking to folks in New York from WBAI, folks from L.A., KPFK, and KPFA, and of course, our own homegrown crowd right here. Joining me in the studio was Eileen Rosin.
Thank you.
Eileen Rosin, she's a member of our LSB, and also on our PNB. Joining us by phone is Nancy Sorden, also a member of the local station board, also a member of the Pacifica National Board. And we'll be talking with Grace Aaron, Mimi Rosenberg, Arthur Schwartz, Linda Rizon. All these folks are connected with this effort or have information about this effort. And so we're going to open up our lines because we want to give you as much credible information as possible, dispel the rumors, dispel the myths, the good, the bad, the ugly, as they say, about these bylaws changes. And joining us, we're going to have six segments. We're going to have the first segment's history and consequences. How did all this come about? Okay. Second segment, we'll deal with the legal requirements and restrictions, you know, and process as it relates to this referendum. We have Pacifica's response to this and its responsibilities. And we're also going to have the LSB PNB response because PNBs the LSBs throughout the network have made statements about this situation, and we're going to share those with you. And then at the second hour, we're going to recap and remind folks of what we had discussed. And also, we're going to have Reverend Graylin Hagler, among some other guests that will be coming in, because we want to get community and staff response. You know, our programmers here at WPFW, both public affairs and music, and as well as, you know, people from the community, you know, like yourselves. And we'll be taking calls and comments during that time. So that's what we got in store for you this morning. And so we're going to get right to it. Nancy, are you there?
I'm here.
Very good, Nancy. Okay. All right.
Good morning, everyone.
Okay. All right. Now, don't forget, mute your phones, folks, if you're not talking. So you don't want to hear bells and whistles. So the first segment, history and consequences. I've invited Grace Aaron. Grace Aaron, good morning.
Hello. I'm here.
Yes. Good morning.
Good morning.
Mimi Rosenberg.
Good morning to all of you.
And Arthur Schwartz. Arthur? Arthur, we can't hear you. Okay, that's fine. Okay, Grace, I'm going to ask you to introduce yourself to the listeners who might not be familiar with you, and I want you to do the same thing, Mimi. And then we're going to talk about the history and possible consequences of these bylaws changes. Grace, let's start with you.
Yes. My name is Grace Aaron, and I'm a member of KPFK in Los Angeles. I'm also on the National Board of Pacifica. In the past, I was the interim executive director of Pacifica and the chair of the board in 2009 for about 10 months, and again for about 3 weeks in July of this year. So I have a long history with Pacifica, been on the board on and off for many years.
Very good. Mimi?
I've been with, as a listener and a broadcaster with Pacifica WBAI since the 1960s, where I was recruited, as most of our broadcasters were, from the community of activists to help really act as a megaphone for the people's voices. I've similarly been a member of what used to be the local advisory board and fortunately was morphed into local station boards, which are now in jeopardy, a much more democratic forum for the people. And I have continued to survive and work for the democracy of Pacifica, for WBAI, and to keep it as a community-controlled vehicle for the voices of we, the people who are generally marginalized and disenfranchised from other forms of media.
We the people. Okay, Grace, let's go over this history, because this didn't happen last week. You know, this didn't happen last month. This has been an ongoing debate, issue, whatever you want to call it, for some time. Give us a brief history of this case.
Of this particular case?
Yes.
I'd like to go back a little bit further.
Sure, go ahead.
Since the 1940s, Pacifica radio stations, we have five radio stations across the country. Your radio station, WPFW in D.C., WBAI in New York City, KPFK in Los Angeles, which is my station, KPFA at Berkeley, and KPFT in Houston. We also have 250 affiliated stations that carry at least some of our programs that they can get over something called the audio port. At any rate, throughout the history of Pacifica at the five stations, there has been some degree of democratization. In other words, there's always been community input to the management and to the boards of directors, and more recently, about the year 2002-2003, a set of bylaws was instituted to increase the democratic participation at all of our radio stations. So at that time, there was a struggle at that time to against democratization. So I'd like to read you a little quote from February 24, 1999. Professor Noam Chomsky, Ed Herman, and Howard Zinn sent a letter to the Pacifica board chair stating, and I'll quote, "Apparent trends toward increased centralization of power and decision-making are bringing Pacifica closer to a corporate model. Further, they urge the board to make a firm commitment to democratic forms of governance and participation." And that was just before these new bylaws that our current bylaws were instituted. So we have a great deal of democratization in our network. We have local station boards, which have a significant amount of input into the management of our stations. And we have a national board that's elected by the five local station boards of our stations. Now, there is an effort now to have a completely new set of bylaws, which would eliminate most of that democratization and push us more toward a corporate model. So that's what we're fighting at the moment.
All right. Very good. Very good. Mimi, would you like to add anything to that?
Well, I just want to put the kind of human face on it. And what the history has been, despite the way the general in New York, Lou Schweitzer, Lou Hill, I mean, they ceded these stations to us to be held in trust for, yes, we the people, to have a progressive voice and a voice that was otherwise erased or eclipsed from mass media. And I think that's the most important history, and that's what we have to hold on. That this isn't about hierarchy or centralism. This is a group of stations that have fought against racism. They've fought for inclusion. They've fought for diversity, and they fought for the democracy and representation of the people by the people, not to be controlled by a hierarchy or an intelligentsia, but by the people. And that is the most significant issue. And then just finally, in around 2019, when there began to be great upheaval, because indeed there were advisory structures that were taken over by people with a kind of corporatist mentality and who indeed believed in the rule of the intelligentsia, which is not what I conceive of as democracy, they put the stations and the station assets, the very licenses, in jeopardy. And it led to national struggle for several years, and it led to a series of lawsuits, which finally ushered in around 2003, a current set of bylaws that are infinitely more democratic and take us from an advisory structure to a local station board structure with empowerment, with decision-making. And when I say took us, who is the us? It is the people. It is the people whose the station was created for, stations, and it was the people who finance it, who have the biggest stake, who are the listeners, who are the movers and shakers in their community, politically and culturally. That's who the stations were created for. That's who sustains the stations. And the staff, most of whom is not separate from the community, but part of the community, and who radiate people's voices outward. So the staff, the listeners, subscribers, that's what democracy looks like. That's what we ushered in, empowering them to make the policies and practices of our precious resource, these wonderful, wonderful stations that are unique in the history of this country, and I dare say the world. So I want to say that our history is about fighting and implementing democracy, and the current bylaws, while they are messy and always should be reevaluated and tweaked accordingly, they empower the people. And democracy, after all, is about empowering the people, regardless of its warts, its messiness. It is about incorporation and decision making and community control. So I think that's the history that we're at now and what is in grave jeopardy.
Mission of Lou Hill, the original concept, the original mission of the network, of the creator of the network, Lou Hill. How does this square with those objectives?
I'd like to speak to that. I think that it turns Lou Hill's ideas upside down. Lou Hill's concept is that the listeners would support our stations, and that the stations would be responsive to the membership and listenership. And instead, this is an attempt to have the listeners subjugated to an elite group of people who will control the whole network. And the same, some of the people who are proposing these new bylaws changes, it's actually a complete rewrite of the bylaws. It's not just some minor changes. Some of the people involved with that actually shut down WBAI, our station in New York, without informing most of the board of directors. This is a completely illegal action. I, as a national board member, didn't even know about the plans for the shutdown or the shutdown itself until after it happened. So this is the kind of mentality of, well, we know best for you. You are not able as people, normal people, listeners and members, are not capable. We have to have professionals do this. And so what professionals led to is almost the complete loss of our New York radio station.
Okay.
And we had to fight to get it back. That was effective. I have to very much thank Arthur Schwartz for taking on, as a lawyer, in a pro bono way, challenging the takeover of WBAI. And also the rest of us fighting to save that station. And that has been, WBAI is now back on the air. But the people supporting these bylaws changes, some of them at least, also supported shutting down WBAI and piping in other programs from Berkeley, California. Well, you know that that's not going to work. in a community radio station that's responsive to the New York community to have programming from a different signal area completely. It was a complete flop.
That's what we have to look at. And that's one of the components of the new bylaws proposal. Joining us by phone also is Arthur Schwartz, the network attorney, who's once again leading the Pacifica challenge, you know, to these bylaws changes. Good morning, Arthur. Welcome to the airwaves, WPFW BAI.
Good morning. Nice to be on in another city.
Okay. Now, Arthur, let's talk about the legal requirements, restrictions, and the process by which this referendum is going to take place. And just so our listeners understand what Grace and Mimi were just talking about in terms of reduction of eliminating the LSBs, well, the new proposal would do just that. And Alex, welcome, by the way. I hear you back there. You'll be on momentarily.
Thank you.
Talk about what the new bylaws will effectively do. Not hyperbole, not what they may do, but what they will do.
What they will do is basically turn Pacifica into much more of what I would call a traditional foundation. It would take Pacifica is pretty unique, and I'd have to say I really didn't have an appreciation of it until, even though I produced a show for a couple of years, I didn't have an appreciation of it until WBA went off the air. But I've spent 40 years being a lawyer for unions and for people, dissidents and reformers trying to take on union leadership. And unions do have a fundamental structure that their members elect the leadership. And their members can change, you know, the direction that the union is going in. And there's no permanent leadership in the union, at least if it's democratic, right? And I didn't really totally understand until WBAI went off the air that Pacifica is actually structured in a similar way. That the notion that members could vote to elect leaders of a foundation is very unusual. I represent a number of foundations, and the boards are generally self-perpetuating. Somebody creates the foundation in the beginning, and then there's an initial board, and even though they may have members, like the ACLU has members, or Planned Parenthood has members, members don't vote on anything. They're just members, like, but they don't vote. They don't choose the leadership. And so the fights that go on over the direction of the organization and who's going to lead the organization are really decided by a small group of people, which sometimes can result in some pretty bad decisions that get made by the organization, and they may not reflect the listenership. The concept that seemed to exist at Pacifica and still is reflected in the bylaws, which the new bylaws do not carry on. In the end, it's not only that the local leadership, the station leadership, is elected, and that group elects the national leadership. Programming is supposed to reflect the demographic and the political and social makeup of the listenership area. And the decision on what that's supposed to be is really a local decision. And it's a local decision that's made by people elected locally. Or it's a local decision made by the local station board and the general manager working together. which was one of the key points of the case we made, is why they couldn't just take WBAI off the air. And it also, the democratic structure also meant that the executive director, who did take WBAI off the air, couldn't do it, what he did, because there was a democratically elected board, which was not a rubber stamp of what he did. And in the end, that board kept voting repeatedly to put WBAI back on the air, and the court said that's who runs Pacifica, not the executive director. And the executive director reports to them. And so it's the democratic structure, you know, that the new bylaws, you would have five people elected to the national board, one from each station. But then you would have six people who are self-perpetuating. And that basically turns Pacifica into what I would call a more traditional foundation, which is not going to be run by its members.
Just to emphasize that point about the five station representatives, under this new bylaws proposal, each station would get to elect one representative, one, and that's it. You know, the local station boards and such would be, you know, completely eliminated. The other part of this proposal is that it would create a six-member. And this is what Arthur, Mr. Schwartz, is talking about right now. It would create a six-member board of advisors, at-large board of advisors, who are essentially hand-picked and not subject to vote. They won't be selected by the membership. So it's very important that people understand that instead of having 22 representatives on your board, you would now have one. And because of the diversity of this network and this station, it would be, you know, I would imagine it would be very difficult for one individual to represent the needs of everybody in this community. But that's the way the bylaws proposal is written. Joining us also is Alex Steinberg. Alex, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Alex, would you like to elaborate on that? Because I think people need to understand, you know, just how much democracy would be challenged, you know, in an environment like that.
I would say there is really very little democracy in the proposed bylaws. You have kind of the shell of democracy in that there are still some votes that take place. But essentially, the six at-large appointed directors will be the people in charge of the foundation, and they will be able to name their own successors forever and ever. Not only that, but local input into such things as advising what programs should be on the air, review of management and things like that will be gone. The local boards will be dissolved, and they will be replaced by the kind of rubber stamp local boards that are now common in NPR stations. So I think it's not only the immediate issue of these bylaws taking away our right to have a say in the direction of our radio station, but in a broader political context, it's part and parcel of a move to eviscerate community broadcasting, any kind of local voices. This is happening throughout the industry. More and more local stations are being shut down or being defunded or turned into what we call repeater stations. And that's and as a matter of fact, that's exactly what was tried initially on WBAI when the former executive director, John Verniel, without the approval or even the knowledge of the national board, came in and shut down BAI and turned it into a repeater station where it had no local staff whatsoever, and all we were an echo of programming that was being piped in from California, which had no relevance to the audience in New York. Now, I've been involved in Pacifica governance. I was actually on the first local station board after our new democratic bylaws were created in 2003, and I've been on and off the local board ever since. I don't know how many years, but probably at least 10 years on and off, and I've been on the national board, and I'm currently the pro tem chair of the Pacifica National Board, and I can tell you that I have never, ever seen a threat to our continued existence such as these proposed new bylaws.
Well, okay, so I guess people listening right now are saying, well, why did this proposal come to fruition? I mean, why did it, why do it in the first place? What's the benefit to the network? Is it saving money? Is it making things more efficient? Is it making things more flexible in terms of being able to make decisions about the fate of certain stations? Arthur, what is that? I mean, what's the benefit there?
The basic theme, and I've done some back and forth with some of these folks on the other side, is that democracy is messy, right? Democracy works slowly. Democracy is not as efficient as bureaucracy sometimes. So they're basically saying the board is too contentious because they're elected, and if we have a professional board, they'll work together to resolve Pacifica's financial problems. And in the brief that their lawyer filed in court, you would see they derided the WBAI decision by the judge as like just being so detrimental to the existence of the network, and that because they would like a structure where they could just do whatever they want to do. And they'll say, we're doing it in the interest of the foundation, and all we have is, instead of being answerable to a membership vote, they're only answerable to a suit for breach of fiduciary duty, which is often a very hard standard to achieve. So that's their reasoning. Like Pacifica, and I have to say this, Pacifica has raises $12, $13 million a year. It's astounding. In left foundations, I would say it raises more money than many, 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 many other ones. But it spends a little bit more than it raises. And that's caused problems. But that's been true, when I look back, it's been true for 50 years. And it's always a recurring issue. Pacifica needs more money. Pacifica is low on cash because the model is raising it 100% from the listener. And these people say, well, we can run Pacifica more efficiently if we can have a small group of people who, professionals who will run the foundation. And that's really their entire premise.
And I'd like to add this. One thing that's being overlooked is that this network has survived all these years, you know, with the democratic model. And yes, it's, like you say, it's messy, it's flawed, you know, it's just like any other, you know, governing situation. Eileen?
Yeah, I did want to add one thing in terms of the rationale for presenting this proposal. There's no question that our bylaws are complex, complicated, possibly indecipherable in some cases, and they need work. But we are throwing out, or not we, this new proposal is kind of throwing out the baby with the bathwater. We need to work on the bylaws one by one, make them fit together so they can work for the benefit of the network. But that doesn't mean that you should come in with a whole new set, a revision, not bylaws amendments, but what they've brought us is bylaws revision. that totally changes the structure of Pacifica. And, you know, as mentioned earlier, one of the things that really got to people was it was not brought to the board. It was kind of, you know, just snuck in behind doors, and all of a sudden we found out this was happening. Yes, Pacifica needs some help in moving forward and improving all its processes, because like it or not, any organization needs some bureaucratic processes to run efficiently, effectively, and to make decisions. And some of those decisions are hard to make. There are trade-offs. What do we spend on this or do we do that? But throwing out the whole thing is not the way to go. Thanks.
All right.
Ron, might I add something?
Yes, by all means.
Mimi?
Yes, go ahead, Mimi.
Hi, thank you. And thank you for doing all this and all the splendid input of my colleagues from throughout the nation, who were adding to this discussion. But I almost think of it as the Rudyard Kipling school of understanding what democracy looks like. It's an inherently kind of chauvinistic and invariably a racist look at things that are exclusionary. It sets up, and I think we have to understand that, again, an alleged intelligentsia who thinks that they have the right to supplant their understanding of life and functioning with the masses, that we don't have the capabilities. We are the unwashed masses. And I do have to remind people that it was decades that the station, and certainly WBAI, fought like hell to effectuate the gorgeous mosaic of New York into the leadership of the station, onto the local station boards, etc. And that's totally ignored. The issue of diversity, the conceptualization that one person can represent different nationalities, different racial groupings, that they can represent women, that they can represent people from the LGBTQIA communities, is such an affront to a progressive notion of democracy. And so I think this is a fight for progressive movements and the way they operate and the way they understand things, and against the issue of hierarchy and against elitism. And I just want to finally add that one of the problems with Pacifica, which they seek to make generally the Washington and New York station the stalking horse for it. We are not, because of financial problems, the albatross around the neck of Pacifica. There is a broader problem of how to finance media, progressive media mechanisms within the most expensive media markets in the country, California, Houston, Washington, New York. And so to make us, in effect, the scapegoats and dismantle a democratic structure rather than tackling through a meaningful summit, how do we begin to accommodate ourselves to the nature of the times and the finances that are required to build and continue and sustain our media network? So I also think that it is imperative to understand that part of the motivation is to look at particularly BAI as a way, it's not an albatross, but to look at it as the golden goose, i.e. to consider selling off our strategic location in the commercial media, which is the centrality of our positioning on the New York station, 99.5 FM. And if that were sold off, that could garner upwards of $10, $15, $20, $50, $100 million, which I think there are many people who would distribute amongst other stations, particularly the California stations. And that has to be reckoned with and recognized. So part of the motivation, I think, is for survival rather than looking at the entire confluence of circumstances that weaken our ability to raise funds at this juncture and how we are going to progress together to do so and to do so better, and to use WBAI and very likely the Washington station as a way of shoring up the flagging economics and finances of the other stations. So I think the motivation is also much more opportunistic than would appear.
Okay, and one thing that's for certain,
Ron, I think that's the elephant in the room.
Yeah, go ahead, Alex.
Just identified. One of the provisions in the new proposed bylaws would make it much, much easier to sell a signal. Currently, the membership has to vote on any kind of sale or swap of a signal, and it requires 10% of the membership to reach a quorum. The new bylaws would reduce that to only 5%. A well-organized minority could probably get 5% of the membership to vote in a certain direction. So I think at the bottom there is an intimate connection between the forces that came in on October 7th and shut down WBAI and those that wish to impose this new set of bylaws on it. And I don't think it's a coincidence that the lawsuit that began this process of trying to impose this new set of bylaws on us was launched on the same day as WBAI was shut down, October 7th. So that's the elephant in the room.
Okay, Alex, thank you very, very much. Okay, listen, folks, we're going to take a quick break. You're in tune to 89.3 FM and WBAI New York. And today it's a special LSB program of from the WPFW's LSB. And I want to, you know, thank the LSB members for making this time, you know, possible. And, of course, our program director, Katia Stitt, for allowing this time to be extended. We're going to take a quick break, and then when we come back, Alex, I'd like for you to share your thoughts about the editorial that we're getting ready to play, because it's important that people understand the context, and then we're going to take a break and then come back. Yes, and don't forget to all of our listeners, both at WPFW and at WBAI, good morning, okay? So we'll stand by, and we will be we'll be back with more, because Lydia Brazon is going to be joining us. She's interim director of the Pacifica Network. And Arthur's going to stay with us because, once again, there are some restrictions and process issues related to this referendum that you need to know about. So stay with us. We'll be back in a moment.
Pacifica Radio has been compelled under California court order to consider amendments to its bylaws. Now, these bylaws protect the democratic governance system, key to our mission of promoting peace and justice through our broadcasts. The court order was initiated by Pacifica National Board members Donald Goldmacher from KPFA, Mansour Sabag from KPFK, and Bill Crozier from KPFT. Crozier was one of the board members who came and closed down WBAI on October 7th. However, in the opinion of a large majority of the Pacifica National Board, the proposed bylaws amendments are destructive, a slap in the face at all the activists who struggled for years to create a democratic governance structure for Pacifica. It would do away with our local station boards and replace them with rubber stamp advisory boards that now dominate NPR stations. It would put Pacifica under the absolute control of six transitional directors appointed by those who filed the lawsuit. They would even have final say over all Pacifica broadcasts, including over WBAI. I'm Alex Steinberg, pro tem chair of the Pacifica National Board and member of WBAI's local station board. I urge all delegates and members to study these bylaws carefully and vote your conscience.
Somebody's hurting Pacifica, and it's gone on far too long. Yes, it's gone on far too long. Yes, it's gone on far too long. Somebody's hurting Pacifica, and it's gone on far too long. And we won't be silent anymore. No, we won't be silent anymore. No, we won't be silent anymore.
All right, Lucy Murphy, and a proud member of the WPFW family. You've been with us forever, you know. And thank you, Lucy, for that very creative statement about about process and democracy and how important it is to our listenership. We're going to be, once again, Arthur staying with us. Mimi's going to be back with us, for the second hour. Arthur, I'd like to once again introduce Lydia Brezon. Ms. Brezon is the interim executive director of the Pacifica Network. And I'd like for her to share with all of our listeners out there, East Coast, West Coast, what Pacifica's response is to this, because there are things that Pacifica has to do as it relates to this referendum. Good morning, Lydia. Welcome to the program.
Good morning.
Yes, Lydia, could you kind of outline, you know, what Pacifica will have to do, the process by which this referendum is being, you know, organized, how it's going to be accountable and such, the process by which this is happening, and once again, about what Pacifica is required to do in this process.
Well, of course, the first and perhaps one of the most important things is to have a qualified election supervisor, and I think that we have that. Fortunately, she's experienced, and we had just gone through our delegate election just a few months ago. So fortunately, we were able to jump right in. I mean, some initial delays for other reasons that have been probably mentioned beforehand. But the most important thing is the vetting of the list. So we're asking for updated lists from the general managers, and even though this comes at the time that they're the busiest with fund drives coming up, having been pre-scheduled, making every effort to have the most accurate of lists. I know my personal experience was when there was a little snafu with my ballot for the last election, I was able to get very prompt response from this same election supervisor. So if there's anyone out there and you haven't gotten a ballot, when you hear the announcement, immediately contact our election supervisor. We have also have, of course, the requisite on-air card. And we will be having more and more information on our website that will give more detailed information. This is the first time that we've ever had to conduct a membership election, so we've had to tweak what we normally do for the individual candidates. And the staff elections, it's two classes of membership, so therefore the staff list. And the staff list include all the volunteers that Pacifica has elected to call unpaid staff. And so that is why we have an enormous effort before us, but that we believe the election supervisor is up to the task.
Very good. And those ballots, when are they scheduled to go out?
That wasn't gone over. Wait, let me get my timetable. It's very soon. I think it's by February
14th.
18th.
Yeah, because it just changed recently.
Yes. So, so all you have to do, like the membership simply has to be very responsive, look in your mailbox if you're going to get a postcard, if you had elected for a paper ballot, those will be generated. If you did that for the last election and are still a member, the membership dates change because we have the date of record, and that's what we're going by. So it's a challenge. We all kind of have to listen very carefully. Stay tuned to your station, because that's where stay tuned to WPSW. That's where a lot of these announcements are going to be made into your website. That's really important.
Very good, very good. And is there anything else you'd like to add in terms of Pacifica's response?
Well, yes. I mean, I think, and I'm the interim executive director right now, but as many people know, I have been involved in Pacifica governance for many, many, many years. And I was here when the current bylaws were passed. And the only striking difference to me, and I'm not opining on which way people should vote, but for the initial bylaws that we are governed by at this point, flawed though many of us consider them to be, but at that time, we had basically what were like a number of bylaws conventions, right? And even after they were passed,
and even after
they were passed, the board and the listeners often invoke the need to have another bylaws convention to fix all these things, right, that we thought had been overlooked. But that aside is that I know in L.A. we all came together and we had our own plan of bylaws, but, you know, we met at a law school, we had huge audiences, everybody participated, and then we met at the national board, we all stood in line to give our comments at the microphone on air. And so it was a huge collective nationwide process. And I think that is what, to me, was most surprising and somewhat alarming, was the lack of process that invited all of the stakeholders, which are primarily our listeners that keep us on the air, and our staff and our volunteers. So I think that's what's lacking in this process. But again, you know, we just urge everyone to become as knowledgeable as possible, and I hope that even though we have a very short time, that we talk to each other and that we listen to each other and hear what's at stake. And as I said, that was the only major difference that I saw, the biggest one, besides the specifics in the plan.
All right, Lydia Bazan, thank you so much. She's interim director of the Pacifica Radio Network. And as they say in Klingon, kapla, much success.
Oh, okay, thanks.
Thank you very much. Okay, we're going to talk with some other folks because, you know, the WPFW LSB and the PNB has also responded to this challenge. And then over the next several minutes, we're going to be talking with members of the WPFW LSB and LSBs from around the network about what their response has been, and why, of course. So I want you folks to listen in on this because it's very important that you understand that this is an attempt. These bylaws, you know, would eliminate the LSBs throughout the network, all five stations. And so it's interesting to know, you know, how the LSBs responded to that. And so that's what we're going to talk about right now. And I'd like to welcome once again Grace Aaron. Are you still there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Very good. Okay, we also have Eileen Rosin, a member of the WPFW LSB. Nancy Sorden, member of the WPFW LSB. We have Lawrence Reyes, member of the KPFK LSB. And, Alex, let's start with, we're going to start with Nancy, because I'd like for her to tell our listeners what the WPFW LSB, how the WLSB has responded, you know, to this challenge. Good morning, Nancy.
Good morning. Hi. Yes. Well, although the presentation of these bylaw amendments, by the petitioners was kind of stealth. The LSB members were able to understand what the changes, the actual changes that were in there meant, and they voted unanimously against this bylaw, proposed bylaw amendments petition, which is actually, as other people have said, is a revision. It doesn't identify one by one all the changes. And in actuality, what they sent out to get people to buy into it was some was not all the changes. Although it said these are the changes from the old and the new, it actually doesn't describe the change in quorum in their materials and a lot of other materials. And so board, the LSB recognized, and I hope other people will recognize that, to actually look at the bylaws, the old and the new, and see the differences, because they are not identified in the materials that were put out by the petitioners. And people will be receiving those materials that make the changes look really great. And I just want people to understand that all the changes, like the one that will affect it being much easier to sell a station, are not identified. The other thing that's not pointed out is that it's going to be a lot easier for a small group of people to elect people at each station, because the elections will rotate between the stations, and so you only have to have your membership at a station for 1 year. So all the members from one station will be able to participate in the election of our station. All the members from all the people from all the other stations will be able to participate in the election at our station. So we'll be having people from outside of our listening area electing our representative. And that's not evident in the materials that were sent out. Those are just two examples of the changes that were not that are not evident when you look at the materials of the propaganda that were sent out with the proposed
Bylaw changes. Okay,
hey.
Nancy, thank you very much. Eileen,
Nancy, I'm going to follow up on what you were just talking about. I tried to do a side-by-side comparison of the two sets of bylaws by using the word track changes and compare documents, and it just didn't work. You know, there were entire chunks that just didn't appear in one that were in the other and vice versa. So that's why we want to distinguish between the fact that these are not bylaws amendments. It's an entire bylaws revision, and I believe that requires a different process. For the bylaws amendments, to keep it short, there's actually a very well-defined process that Pacifica has to go through for bylaws amendments. After we get that, 5% of the membership saying, yeah, go ahead and start a process.
1%.
Oh,
yeah.
It's only 1%. Okay, thank you. Then the proposed new bylaws need to be voted up or down by the national board. If the national board approves them, then they are to be sent to the LSBs of the 5 stations. I don't think they go to the affiliates.
Actually, it was that voting order there was kind of reversed because of the situation that P&B vote had to be taken. We had to...
The court reversed the order.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
Oh.
So we had to... The P&B had to vote against it so that we could make sure that the LSBs would see it.
No, the P&B had to vote for it.
For it. That's right.
So,
we found ourselves in kind of a funny situation. Yeah.
Even though
that's right,
most of us did not agree with this new set of bylaws, we voted them up. In other words, we were in favor of them, expressly so they would make it to the LSBs, because if the P&B had voted them down, then they would have gone directly to the membership.
To the membership.
Without the LSBs as, elected local boards from the communities, they wouldn't have had a chance to look at them and debate them and see what this was all about. Would have just gone out blasting to the membership. I'm happy to say that at PFW, at least, we voted unanimously on our local station board to reject this packet of new bylaws.
Right. And one of the reasons was, why would we vote for something when we don't know all the changes in it? All the changes have not been identified. Why would we want to vote for something like that without having to, have a chance to look at it more closely? And, everybody, I think, agrees that the bylaws need some changes, It's not that we don't want changes,
right?
Which some people might, the petitioners might say that we just want to go on, but we actually have been looking at bylaw changes over the last several years, and we haven't gotten to a point yet where we need something like a convention that was talked about. But that's one of the issues is the way that these were presented in such a stealth manner. Why would?
Now, so we got to take a break because it's top of the hour. We'll be back momentarily.
You're in tune to WPFW in Washington at 89.3 FM and streaming at WPFW.org and WBAI in New York at 99.5 and streaming at WBAI.org.
Thank you very much, Katia. Okay, Nancy, thank you for that. Sorry we had to interrupt you. We also want to bring in Lawrence Reyes. Lawrence Reyes is LSB representative from KPFK out in California. Good morning, Lawrence.
Good morning. Good morning, everyone. Good morning, family.
Exactly, family. I like that. Lawrence, tell us the LSB's response. Because if I'm not mistaken, and in fact, all five stations have, the LSBs have rejected these bylaws. Could you elaborate on that for us?
Sure. it's obviously an attempt to usurp the current process. Our LSB voted 14-3 with one of the petitioners being part of our LSB. Was one of the yes votes. But this is what really concerns me, is being able to get the information out to our listeners. I think it has to be both pro and con, but we know that these bylaws, as Aline was saying, they were sent out and Nancy was saying it as well. But usually when you submit a bylaw or change, you always strike out the language, you usually redline it, and then you highlight in dark bold what the change is going to be. Well, that never happened. This is obviously an attempt to completely revise the bylaws without due process. As you know, PNB directors were about to vote no on when they were first presented, but then people were muted from casting their votes. So that's part of it. In the process of our LSB, we made a motion to have forms, on air forms. And I think what you're doing here around the WPFW is doing and WBAI is doing is a great service to our listeners in order to educate the usurping attempt. And usurping is to disenfranchise people. Come on. I mean, you get rid of the LSBs, you get rid of the democratic process of governance that we fought so hard for. I was around when the original bylaws were stated. And as Ms. Brazon was saying, there were a bylaws convention. There was meetings where you could express your opinion. With this decision that the judge gave, it prevents us from being able to address, these changes, which will be self-directing directors, self-electing directors, where the listeners won't have an opportunity to vote for LSB members, because that'd be completely gone, and then the directors, the PNB directors, will be self-perpetrating. So, this is a serious attempt to completely disenfranchise and make things easier to break up this network, and that really concerns me. Thank you.
And Lawrence, before you go, when the KPFK LSB was taking this vote, I mean, this wasn't close. I mean, this is, like you said, almost unanimous.
Yeah, it was almost unanimous, and I believe it, even some people that were on the fence saw, because of the presentation that was made by myself, Michael Novick, and Grace Aaron, they were able to you know, be educated in regards to what really are the effects of these proposed bylaws that's being presented to our membership. And you know, so one of the things that I would like to say is the GMs have to cooperate with both sides and hold forms. The natural medicine supervisor must authorize having forms throughout the network to educate our people. And we have till March, so we have a short window. So we need to do as much as we can to get the information out. And I appreciate you, Ron, and PFWBAI doing that today.
Okay, very good. Lawrence Reyes, thank you very, very much for participating today. Thank you for your work, you know, at the LSB level, at the PNB level, at the Pacifica level. Thank you very much, Lawrence.
Thank you.
All right. You're in tune 89.3 FM, WPFW, and 95.5 WBAI, New York. You know, our next segment, we'll be talking with, you know, community folks, okay, because this does affect the communities, you know, not only here, but New York, in L.A., and Berkeley, and KPFT, and Houston. You know, there's a lot of community interest, you know, in this process. And so what we want to do now is invite some of our community members and staff members, because this also affects staff at all the stations, because there are two elections that will be taking place. There'll be a staff ballot, and there will be a listener ballot that'll be coming into the mail or by email, because some will be receiving their ballots electronically. So, you know, we have both constituencies there that will be affected by these bylaws changes. So joining us in the studio for this second hour of our broadcast is Joni Eisenberg. Good morning, Joni.
Good afternoon, Ryan.
Well, it is afternoon, isn't it? I also like to welcome Craig Hall.
All right. Good morning or good afternoon.
Craig Hall is one of our newer LSB members. Eileen Rosen still with us. And Verna Avery Brown. Verna, are you there?
Yes, I am, Ron, and I'm sorry I can't be in the studio, but I am absolutely with you all.
All right.
Good answer.
Very good, very good. So let's talk about staff response, you know, to this. As a member of the WPFW programming staff, you, Joni, Craig, I'd like to hear from the three of you how, you know, why this is important to the staff, and would you like to impart to the staff, because their ballots are equally important, you know, in this referendum. And let's start with you, Verna, since you're on the phone there, okay?
Okay. All right. I appreciate that, Ron, and good afternoon to all our listeners in the DMV as well as in the BAI area as well. The point I want to make, Ron, is that this is really an urgent hair on fire type of moment for Pacifica. Now, if you see someone with their hair on fire, most likely you're going to jump into action. You know, you're going to grab a bucket of water or something and try to help that individual. We need you all to grab a ballot. Grab your ballot when the time comes, February 18th. Programmers, this is particularly important to programmers across the network, because at KPFA, one programmer has been yanked off the air without explanation or notice. His name is Steve Zelter. He was Work Week radio producer, a very popular programmer in the community. He was on the air for 7 years. He represented labor, workplace issues, protection for whistleblowers, and thousands of unionized and unorganized workers need this sort of platform. And it's rumored that his show was yanked off because it was too edgy. Too edgy on Pacifica? Isn't that what Pacifica is all about? Other shows and were removed and not replaced with any compelling new shows include shows like Guns and Butter, Discreet Music, Counterspin by our beloved Laura Flanders. And, you know, there seems to be a rightward drift from those seeking to file bankruptcy and to break up the network. And they are some of the same people who are the architects of this lawsuit. So this to me, Ron, is reminiscent of the battle we fought and won back in 1999 when the then PNB was drifting towards more conservative position. And Dan Coughlin and I were appointed as executive director and deputy director, executive director, to reposition the network. But Pacifica, we have to remember, is a constant target because of the progressive, radical, outside the mainstream program, the voices we air. Our hosts are able to say things on our airways that they would be absolutely yanked off the air for saying on another network. I mean, who's to say this group of six new directors wouldn't find some of our programs too edgy? Well, they took BAI off the air. So they will have the authority, to, as we heard, basically, to operate unchecked, no oversight. Who's going to check them? Who's going to check them, Boo?
Who's going to check the checkers?
Yeah, who's going to check them? They will always have the voting majority if they choose to vote as a block on the board, because it will be six of them versus five of the station reps. And we'll go, as we've heard this morning, from having a Democratic government to basically what I call an oligarchy. And you look the definition of that up, and that's where power rests with a small number of people. So, you know, we have a labor show, Arise, with Bill Fletcher. What's at stake? I mean, we have a whistleblower. Marsha Coleman Adebayo is one of the most famous whistleblowers in the country. She stared down the Environmental Protection Agency and won and put legislation in place.
Okay.
Someone's trying to interrupt.
I guess, it's handled. Okay. You want to finish your statement, and then I'm going to go to Craig.
Sure. And then we have Braylon Hagler, a human rights activist, Fahima Seth, another bites your tongue. I mean, the list goes on the programmers on our airways that could be at some point considered too edgy. So why do we want to put ourselves in the position where we're at the mercy of these six people? And we've been in a position where we don't give a darn about how they feel. I mean, sure, things need to be changed. I mean, with the bylaws, but let's not use a hatchet where a scaffold is really required. I have more to say, but I'm going to yield.
Verna Avery Brown, thank you very much. And you know, she's going to stay with us. Craig Hall, one of our new LSB members, welcome.
All right, thank you.
This is Nancy. I just want to sign off. I've got to go.
Okay,
thank
Nancy.
Thank you so much, Nancy.
Nancy Sorden, thank you very much.
And thank you all for being on. Thank you so much.
All right. Okay, Nancy, thank you very much. Craig, welcome to the airwaves.
All right.
What's your perspective on this?
Well, you know, I am what you call staff, although all of us here, programmers at WPFW, are volunteers, so we're considered to be staff, but we're not paid staff. And I'm a co-host of a public affairs program, Voices with Vision, with Netha Freeman. And speaking to Verna's point about the increased possibility of censorship and undemocratic kind of authoritarian oversight is something that threatens a program like the one that I'm heavily involved with, Voices with Vision, because we are tied into the community, you know, the universities, the organizations, the organizations that are fighting for the liberation of our people. And so we know that these types of programming are not popular with the powers that be. And it just seemed obvious to me that, you know, when you're doing dirt, you try to do dirt in the dark. And too much of this was in the dark, making it very suspect. And, you know, often we see the justifications being connected to dirty deeds. Just because there's a problem somewhere doesn't mean that what is being presented as a solution is a solution. It's just an opportunity for opportunists to say, hey, something is wrong, and, you know, so let's do this. Because we can always, you know, analyze and look at things and see where things need to be improved. But we have to be very careful. So the idea that, as has already been explained by others on this program, that we would initiate a situation that was, you know, so much less democratic is a real big problem. Just like other people have said, how can just a handful of people represent? Is that going to serve us better? And it is. I can see it clearly. It is a part of a move to sort of mainstream WPFW, to drive it toward the middle, to water it down, amongst other things. And of course, you know, and the tagline for our show is not for the politically faint of heart. So the idea of being watered down or mainstreamed, that just doesn't work.
You know, I have to think of this logistically, too, because with these new proposed bylaws, the station would get one representative. And when you look at our program grid, it's a quilt. It's a quilt of consciousnesses. That's what I call it, okay? And one individual can't represent all of the various interests that this station represents. That's why the boards are so important. That's why representation, diverse representation, is so important, to make sure that as many voices as possible from the community, you know, are part of this process. When all of us began as volunteers, you know, many of us, we all still volunteers,
right.
You know, but we did that because it was that democratic openness that allowed, you know, people like ourselves to come in and participate like this. And that door could be shut off, you know, to future, you know, opportunity for our community. Anything else you want to add, Craig, before I go to Joni?
Well, I'm sure I can jump in.
All right.
So, yeah,
very
let's
good.
Go to Joni.
All right. Next is Joni Eisenberg, longtime WPFW programmer and activist here in this community. And she knows where all the bones are.
Yes,
welcome to the airways,
the bones,
Joni.
And the victories as well. Thank
exactly.
you. I've been on the air here for 28 years, but I grew up listening in New York City to WBAI. So I'm here on behalf of both stations. And I hope we jump back at some point to Mimi as well. You know, we need to make it plain that this is a plot, I'll call it, to destroy Pacifica, to we're using the word disenfranchise. I think that's a little bit too mild. You know, we who are a threat to the status quo, know it's no surprise that the status quo and the powers that be would want to destroy Pacifica Radio. It wouldn't be a surprise to most of us. We've been through this before, as Verna said, 1999, many of us remember when Verna Avery Brown, as well as Amy Goodman, were on the front lines across this nation. I would meet people all over the country who knew that Pacifica was being threatened. So we're at this again. Verna coined the phrase SOS, save our stations. This is an emergency situation. We are here to educate you, and most of us on the airwaves are a threat to the status quo. We question the status quo. We question the man down the street at number 45. We question the racism of this system. We question the root that this country is based on for profits in healthcare, no matter how many people's lives are lost by that. We are a threat to the status quo. We're here today to encourage all the listeners to stay woke. To stay.
All right.
Wait, I'm getting interruptions. To stay woke. This is something that is. We don't want to bore you with this discussion of bylaws. We want you to stay woke. And I just wanted to read a phrase from WBAI's LSB vote that they took. That they said that the changes of the bylaws are so highly suspect that they clearly raise questions about the good faith of those promoting them with everything they have said to promote them. Before I jump off, I want to say we at WPFW, our jazz and justice radio. Jazz is also a threat to this society. So we are not leaving our music programmers in this station and across the network out. You know, jazz is becoming is in danger, and we are very proud of the justice roots of jazz. So we're not separating jazz and justice. We're here to protect both, and we're here to encourage everyone, on staff, programmers, and listeners, to stay woke. This is a fight for the survival of our network.
All right, thank you very much, Joni, and folks that you know that. Let me reiterate these dates. Your ballots go out on the 18th of February. Once those ballots go out, there'll be 30 days for people, you know, to respond to those ballots. Some of those ballots will be paper. Some of them will be email. Those who made contributions between January 1, 2019 and January 1, 2020, will be eligible to participate. So, you know, you'll be sending more information about that on our website at WPFW as well as the Pacifica website. So stay tuned to all of that. And continuation with our broadcast, the community response is very, very important because PFW.
Well, Ron,
yes, go ahead.
I'm sorry. I just wanted to add one more thing.
Please go ahead. Make it quick because
I. The programmers need to understand the power that they have in this situation. As we know, there are going to be two elections, but if the programmers across the network vote no, a majority of vote no, that shuts this whole thing down. Or if the listeners across the network vote no, that shuts it down. So in order for this proposal to go forward, both elections have to be a yes vote. So programmers, as defined by anybody who is a host or who assists a host or who has volunteered, and it also includes paid staff. So it's called a staff, but it includes the list of
paid and
the programmers as well. If they vote no, it's over. It's over. So that's the power we have. So, you know, I thought initially that ballots were going out on the 14th. I was going to say, be a sweetheart and vote your conscience, you know, but they're going out on the 18th. That's close enough.
You still vote your conscience, by all means.
Right around Frederick Douglass's birthday.
All right. And listen, once again, the community is intricately involved in what we do here at WPFW, and there's no greater representative of this community then Reverend Graylin Hagler, who joins us in the studio this morning. Welcome, Mr. Hagler.
Thank you. It's so good to be here.
Graylin, you have been associated with this station forever, okay? A good thing. And, you know, you are connected to the community. Share with us your thoughts about losing the idea or the thought of losing local control of WPFW and how it would impact the community that you serve so well.
Well, let me put a start out this way, that democracy is under attack in this country and on this network, and we see that very often in this time and when folks want to limit the voices so that there is a dominant narrative that exists. And so in order to have a dominant narrative, you got to deal with trying to eliminate all of those voices that challenge that dominant narrative. That's what democracy is about, where people are able to engage. And one thing that's been important when you start talking about WPFW radio or WBAI or the Pacifica Network, what you got to really think of is like all of the things that we basically cover and talk about that will never happen in corporate media. You know, I just think the other night we had a rally for the Poor People's Campaign in Washington D.C. Who set up live there was this station, WBAI, live broadcasting it. This has been the station that has been the official outlet of the Poor People's Campaign, staying plugged in. Well, corporate media is not carrying that. You can't expect NBC, ABC. They could care less about that. CNN, MSNBC.
Excuse me one second, Reverend. Somebody's phone, one of our guests, please you know, mute your phone or disembark, because we're getting a tone there that's interfering with the broadcast, okay? Continue, Reverend Hacker.
Yeah, and so those kinds of things are out there and basically being presented to our community, because there is a whole issue where information is thwarted. People work very hard to make sure that people aren't informed, that people are not able to engage in deliberate and conscious discussion and deliberation. And that's really what it's about. So the first thing that really tries to happen is that people who are really sort of fascist in nature try to get a hold of those vehicles that put out information that challenges the dominant culture. I mean, one of the things that J. Edgar Hoover said, for example, was that somehow they needed to get control of this Negro press that kept reporting the things that the white press was not reporting. And so that was for them a real law enforcement agenda. And basically we've seen the eradication of much of the black press. And you see the continued attacks upon those types of journalistic freedoms that raises up the alternative view of the perspective. And so WPFW, the Pacifica Network, has been a part of being that alternative voice. And if we allow folks to bylaw change to close down that democratic process, we're the ones that ought to be shot.
Reverend Graylin Hagler, putting it like it is. You know, I'm going to ask you, Verna, is there a racial component to this? And Grace, if you're still there, I'd like for you to respond to that too, because you had an interesting take on how race is playing a role in this referendum.
Yes, I think it absolutely is playing a role, because these bylaws would give only one representative from each signal area. So obviously, in many of our signal areas where our membership is mainly white and the people who have the greatest name recognition are, to a great degree, older white people. So who do you think is going to be representing our stations on the national board? Maybe we'll have a token person of color here and there, but the board will probably be dominated by white folk. I hate to put it as bluntly as that, but that's probably would be the outcome. With our local boards as they exist currently, we have representation from a wide variety of perspectives, ethnicities, nationalities, viewpoints, and we need to maintain that. That's what Pacifica is all about. And Pacifica is a beacon of hope in this Trump time, when so much of our population is craving dictatorship, strongmen, a leader. You know, we need to go back to the importance of democracy and our Constitution. And that's what Pacifica is all about. And media is being decimated across the country. Newspapers are going bankrupt. Just a couple of weeks ago, iHeartRadio, which owns 850 radio stations, had massive layoffs, termed by some of the people laid off as a bloodbath. So we're looking at a bloodbath in media, especially community media. Community media is being decimated. I know here in L.A., we have hardly any local news. You turn on the local news on TV, and it's mainly car chases and weather, and maybe some entertainment news. And there's just a degeneration, a lack of community voices, a lack of community news across the country. And Pacifica has been hit viciously with financial and other threats. The shutdown of WBAI, which is extremely expensive,
both in loss of revenue because the station was shut down in the beginning of a fund drive, a major fund drive, also legal costs to combat the shutdown and get the station back on the air. And now this bylaws amendment process is going to cost us probably about $100,000. And this is at a time when Pacifica is needed so much in this 2020 election cycle. And we're being distracted by some things that are counterproductive, in my estimation. So that's where we're at. Pacifica is the hope right now of democracy in the media. We're unique. We're democratic. We need to maintain the voice of democracy in the media spectrum.
All right. Thank you very much. That's Grace Aaron. Folks, well, we're going to take a quick break. You're in tune to 89.3 FM, WPFW. And streaming at WPFW.org and also at WBAI New York. We'll be back momentarily to continue, and then we're going to open our phone lines for you folks that may have a question, a comment. And so don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. All right. Welcome back to this special LSB program here on WPFW, being simulcast at WBAI. And
we just heard Childish Gambino, Redbone. But the message there was to stay woke.
There you go, Craig. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. And that's the appropriate title for today.
That's right.
Stay woke. Don't be snoozing because you'll be losing. All right. So, listen, we're going to open the phone lines up, you know, for you folks to make comments and share your thoughts about the issues we've been discussing this morning. And that number that called is our traditional, you know, on-air line, 202-588-0893. In the studio is Reverend Graylin Hagler, Joni Eisenberg of Hill, D.C., Craig Hall, programmer here at WPFW, Eileen Rosen, member of our WPFW LSB and PNB, and yours truly, Ron Pinchback, hosting the event. Mike, do we have a phone guest? Okay. Once again, folks, if you have a question or a comment about these proceedings or about any of this, please share your thoughts. We'll answer as succinctly as we can, and we'll try to make your questions as brief as you can so that we can get as many of you folks in as possible. Thank you very much for listening to WPFW. Good morning. You're on. Yes, good morning.
Thank you so very much for this show, very thoughtful show. I was luckily tuned in, of course,
thank
to
you.
WBAI. And my name is Zabby, Z-A-B-B-Y. I do a radio show at Stony Brook University, and I've been trying to save WBAI all of these years. I play some of the excerpts from WBAI from actually Washington, D.C., Code Pink, all kinds
oh, yeah.
of programs. Segments on my show to try to advertise it. So I am one of those older white people who is not a racist because, and I really resent Gracie Aaron for playing the race card and for, well, I don't know who wanted to introduce the topic.
I introduced the topic.
Well, I know you did. I heard you do that, but I don't know. I think that playing the race card is beneath the pale because I believe one for all and all for one. And I love the man from California who said family. That's how I look at it.
Right.
We're family here. And so
to generalize
about all the older white people at Pacifica is, I think, a mistake. And it divides. It divides, and it's not good. But anyway, I have a website I've been doing for 6 years or so, following so many of the shows. It's like I'm an accountant, actually, and so I come from an accounting perspective. My website, which I'd like you to go to, has solutions for Pacifica Foundation for all five stations. At first, it was just geared for WBAI because that's the pro station I was tuned into, and I couldn't really speak to all four of the others because I couldn't get those. I don't even have a computer.
Okay, listen, I hate to do this, my sister, but we're gonna have to move on to the next call, okay? And thank you very much for making your comments, and they were very well received. 202-580-0893. Good morning. You're on WPFW.
Hey, good afternoon. This is Mitchell Cohen here in New York.
Hey, Mitchell.
WBAI.
How you doing?
I'm a member of the WBAI local station board. And first thing, vote no. Just ask everybody to vote down these revocation of our network, which is what it's trying to do. But I also wanted to note that the judge, unbeknownst to most of us who ruled on these things, he used to be at KPFA as a staffer. And he was with the paid staff. I don't know if he was paid there. He was on the staff at KPFA that was hostile to any kind of listener input or patrol of the radio stations in the network. And so then we think of all the things that Pacifica has done, and BAI and KP, WPFW, especially, I'm glad we're working together on this, such as genetic engineering, opposition to genetic engineering. Well, many of the Democratic Party people, the officials, are for genetic engineering, yet we've been opposing it. So we are opposed to Mumia's incarceration and Leonard Peltier's incarceration, yet many of those people, the same people, are for it. So we serve a really important function is a radio station, and we don't realize that until we lose it. And it's really important, and I just want to thank you so much for airing this show on BAI and PFW.
All right, Mitchell, thank you so much for your comments. 202-580-8893. Good morning. Excuse me, good afternoon. You on WPFW.
Yeah, this is Steve Zeltzer. I'm calling from San Francisco.
Hey, Steve.
And I had a show on KPFA, which was removed this month on the 13th, called Work Week Radio. And it was the only Northern California labor show, regular weekly labor show. So the day before the show was scheduled on Tuesday, I received an email from Quincy McCoy, who's the manager, saying the show was canceled and the station was going in a new direction. Now, there is no other labor show on KPFA, regular labor show, and I was never consulted, there was never discussion, no comments. So it was a unilateral corporate-type decision. And I think that's really what's behind these bylaw things, to corporatize Pacifica and KPFA. And I think that we at KPFA have faced these attacks on programmers. There's been no meetings with the staff. There's supposed to be one tonight, but there hasn't been one for years with the staff. Now, I feel that the management should have meetings with the staff at least once a month, once every other month, report what's going on. And this top-down corporate structure is terrible. Now, at the same time, we at Work Week and other programmers have been trying to have more live national programming. And KPFA should be part of this discussion. There should be a live national call-in with discussion, debate. There's so many struggles, issues, labor, racism, immigration that can have a national focus. So we've also fought for Pacifica to have a channel where you could have live national programming of rallies, marches for women, or climate, where we could, as a national network, really reach out and connect with these different struggles that are going on using new technology, communication technology. So I think that this is an effort to really shut down, corporatize the network, and it would, the view of the people at, who are running KPFA on the board and in management, is they should cut loose WBAI. KPFA should operate on its own, and they should sell off the station in New York to fund this project or this financial crisis. Now, there are only $4 million that is owed, which is actually a very small amount nationally, considering the potential for Pacifica as an important alternative network. It's the only alternative network.
All right.
The other thing that just happened, which is
hey, my man, I hate to do this to you, but we're really running short of time, and I'm gonna have to interrupt you so that we can get some more callers in and some more comments from our panelists. Thank you for sharing your story. Thanks for calling from out there in California. That's an important constituency to us. So keep us posted and good luck, okay?
Yeah, we need to talk a little more.
Okay, and we're going to be bringing back Mimi Rosenberg and Arthur Schwartz for some final thoughts. Before we do that, I'd like to get some response from Reverend Hagler on what some of the callers anything the callers may have said.
Sure. I mean, I think that they're hitting it on the head, because again, you know, it's like, how do you begin to quell the voices that challenge the dominant narrative out there? You know, because very often we get sort of thinking that, well, it's right and it's left. Well, there's right, left, right? I mean, and what I'm getting at is that there is a vast array of perspective. But basically, when you create a dualism within the culture, you're controlling every other perspective that's out there. And so what happens is that WPFW becomes a clearinghouse for thought, becomes a clearinghouse for progressive thinking, becomes a clearinghouse for those kinds of movements that the dominant culture don't want us to see, don't want us to hear about, don't even want us to know exists. And so what is important is that we have vehicles like this that can really begin to penetrate the energies of the community and help those that energy to emerge as something that is a viable alternative to the dominant themes that are being offered us. The dominant themes that I must point out are always filled with racism, classism, always filled with it's pro-capitalist. It has no other type of alternative economic viewpoint. Those are the narratives we're being fed. And when we don't think that there's other narratives out there, we buy into those narratives.
No witnesses, right?
That's right.
Craig.
Well, I think Reverend Hagler said what I was going to say. So, but you know, this idea that you know, when you speak about what PFW means, then you understand why we have to vote no and why the enemy of the people want to get their hands on WPFW. Anytime there is a coup, this United States government engineers a coup somewhere to install a dictator, one of the first things they do is attack the radio station, the TV station, and the media to control the narrative, to control information. And so these bylaws, in effect, create the kind of situation that the police in this country, by whatever agencies, can put them in a better position to control what goes on at Pacifica. And so it's anti-democratic, and that will be the effect. And we know this is what they do. You know, they have six-figure incomes and sit around in rooms. You know, they come from Ivy League schools, and they have plenty of time to pick on WPFW. It's a priority.
Johnny?
Yes, and of course I want to remind people that it was none other than Adolf Hitler who, one of the things that he did was make sure he controlled the media. So we should, again, stay woke and know that in these days, that's going to be a priority of the 1% that's trying to control us. We have to be standing up. We have to be standing up together, and I'm very proud that we in Pacifica are standing together with all the LSBs questioning this. And again, I just wanted to make a brief comment about racism. This country was founded on racism. So, of course, the bylaws proposal includes, there's a racist element to it, and to say it's racist does not mean that we're dividing ourselves up. We, as progressive people, must stand together, and that includes standing up against racism and standing up against all the horrific things that are going on in this country now. Now it's more important than ever that we have a strong Pacifica, and we know that the listeners and the staff will stand together with us.
All right, very good. All right, let's go back to the phones right quick, and then we're going to bring back Arthur Schwartz and Mimi Rosenberg for some closing remarks and challenges related to this whole adventure, because it is an adventure, folks. And thank you all for listening. Good afternoon. You're on WPFW.
Hi, how are you?
Yes. Well, what is your comment?
All right. My name is Mario. Real quick, I'm a member of the Community Advisory Board in New York and the Finance Committee. And at one time, I wanted to challenge some of the ways that things were happening at BI. But with this takeover that happened, I agree with everybody who's been on the show today. Everyone, everything they said, how they explained it. It's not good to go to the other extreme. I'd rather things be worked out here. BAI, when things get really pretty bad, they usually straighten out their problems. And I don't like that they showed their colors the way that they were handling programming. The way that they handle the programming, it was not good. It tells me that there's going to be very little of the same programming, if any, and that wasn't a good thing. That's very telling. So I agree and support the people that were on today about defending and working with this. We have to work out the money problems throughout the network. But to go to another extreme and do this corporate thing, and only a group of elites or chosen people in one California do things. No, that's not good totally.
All right. Thank you so much for taking the time to call in and share. All right. Well, caller, you're on the line. Good afternoon.
Yes. Thank you for giving me this opportunity to speak. My name is Max. I'm calling from Manhattan. I think it's great giving people a chance to voice their opinion now on the air. But I'd like to know that regardless of where you happen to take the radio station, which direction, that we will be granted open access to discuss the nefarious doings and dealings of vaccines. Can we also discuss GMOs and their effect on the human body? How can you promise us this?
Yes, absolutely. That's going to protect access to that type of information. Because look, the information you're asking about, you know, is not necessarily, you know, popular, you know, so because they don't bring in revenue for the, you know, for the corporations. So a lot of things that we deal with, our prison show, for example, you know, we don't, you know, corporate interests aren't interested in talking to prisoners. So that's why it's so important that we understand what's at stake here. And we're at the conclusion of this special. You will be hearing more about this in the weeks to come. There will be additional forums and such, on-air forums. And before I go, I'd like to hear from Mimi Rosenberg and Arthur Swartz. Mimi?
Well, I want to come in by saying, first of all, thank you for the courage, the conviction, which is the best of what our stations have to offer, for doing this kind of programming and letting people have their say. And by having their say, they become empowered and determine what our stations look like. You, the listener, are the broadcasters. You finance our stations. And guess what? If you don't vote no, if you don't stop the hijacking of Pacifica through the efforts to change these bylaws wholesale, you, the listener, are being fired. You, the staff, are being fired. And we have to say, hell no, this is about self-determination. It is about inclusion and representation. That's what democracy looks like.
There you go, Mimi. Thank you very much. And Arthur Swartz, thank you for being here today for us. Just a couple of words, you know, in infinitum there.
Just what I said at the top of the show. Pacifica is a uniquely structured democratic organization where the content and the leadership and the direction of the foundation is democratically elected, literally from station to national. And these bylaws would basically eviscerate that unique structure among left or even not left foundations in this country, and would basically take Pacifica into the realm of your standard foundation with self-perpetuating boards.
Okay.
People should keep that in mind.
Thank you very much, Arthur, very much. And Eileen, before we go.
Yeah, I just wanted to mention, as always, you know, we're always talking about our fund drives and asking you for money, and I'm not doing that right this second exactly. We do have one coming up here at PFW. I'm not sure when BAIs or the other stations might have them, but I wanted to mention it just because, you know, part of our problem is that we get all tangled up in these things and we need money to deal with lawsuits or to you know, have these elections go forward so that we can actually get things done, that we need to pay for our auditors who will then let us have audits that we can use to actually then raise money from foundations and the CPB. So I just wanted to put in a word there that while it's horribly boring and annoying for us to be talking about money, that's what we use it for. We need to move ahead and we need to be able to have that foundation of funds.
All right. Thank you very much, Eileen. And Reverend Hagler, I'm going to give you the last word because you represent this community. And that's what this station and BAI are all about. It's about representing community.
I'm going to engage you. I'm going to engage everybody around here in my last comments. How should people vote?
No.
There you go. That's my last comment.
Thank you, Reverend Hagler.
No.
All right. Listen, everybody, all you listeners out there, thank you so much. Stay abreast of this issue because we will be providing you with updates. And, you know, over the next few weeks, you'll be hearing a lot about this. You know, research, you know, make up your own minds, vote your conscience. You know, if self-determination is important to you, if local control is important to you, if democracy is important to you, you know how you want to vote. Okay. To the BAI listeners, thank you so much. You've been through a lot up there, and you know, I applaud you for standing tall. And once again,
stay woke.
Stay woke, as Johnny said. Stay woke, everybody. Stay woke. And keep your faith in Pacifica. Keep the faith in WPFW, BAI, and all our sister stations. Okay, we need your help. Thank you so much, because we know we're going to get it. This is Ron Pinchback. Have a wonderful weekend.
Somebody's hurting Pacifica, and it's gone on far too long. Yes, it's gone on far too long. Yes, it's gone on far too long. Somebody's hurting Pacifica, and it's gone on far too long. And we won't be silent anymore. No, we won't be silent anymore. No, we won't be silent anymore.
This is WPFW News. I'm Askia Muhammad. Here are some headlines. President Trump's impeachment trial enters its final hours today, with a likely acquittal possible as early as this evening. The final phase of the trial begins at this hour. There will be 4 hours of debate and then a vote on whether the Senate should seek witnesses and documents. Late last night, Lamar Alexander, a key swing vote on that question, said that he would vote against considering additional witnesses. In a letter, he wrote that Democrats had proved Trump acted inappropriately by offering Ukraine the quid pro quo, but it was not an impeachable offense. That makes it all but certain the GOP-led Senate will say no to more witnesses and that the trial will head quickly to an acquittal. The State Department announced last night that it had elevated its travel advisory to the highest level after the World Health Organization declared the viral outbreak an international public health emergency earlier in the day. The travel advisory warns Americans not to travel to China. At least 213 people are dead and more than 9,709 cases have been confirmed in mainland China as the virus spreads globally. There are now more than 140 confirmed cases of the virus outside mainland China, including 6 in the United States. Nearly 60 million people have been under partial or full lockdown in Chinese cities for a week. The Defense Department said Thursday that 14 more service members have been diagnosed with traumatic brain injury since the Iranian missile attack targeting U.S. forces at 2 Iraqi bases this month, bringing the total number to 64. The missile strike on Iraqi airbase launched in retaliation for the American killing of General Qasem Soleimani. Trump previously characterized the injuries in Iraq as not very serious and as headaches, leading the veterans of foreign wars to ask Trump for an apology. The mother and two children of an African-American man killed when he was shot 7 times by a Maryland police officer while sitting handcuffed in the front of a police cruiser spoke out on Thursday to demand swift justice for what their lawyer called, quote, one of the worst incidents in American history. The family of William Howard Green said that while they are relieved that Prince George's County police officer who shot him has been charged with murder, they questioned how he was allowed to be a police officer after officials confirmed he was involved in a previous fatal shooting that is being reviewed. Workers at the Safeway Distribution Center in Upper Marlboro say they were caught off guard this week when employees were told the facility would soon close its doors. That means hundreds of people stand to lose their jobs. A spokesperson for Albertson Company, Safeway's parent, said that warehouse operations are being moved to a distribution center in Denver, Pennsylvania. Workers reacted with shock and anger. They were abruptly informed that the center is being shut down by the end of May. Quote, it's like a slap in the face to everyone, especially to the workers, because they sacrificed for the company to stay here, said Richie Brooks, president of Teamsters Local 730, which represents warehouse workers. And for the first time since 1993, statehood for the District of Columbia will get a vote in the U.S. House of Representatives next month. Muriel Bowser, the mayor, announced Thursday. The House Oversight and Reform Committee is set to mark up and vote on H.R. 51 on February the 11th. The bill is expected to make it onto the House floor after being voted through committee. More than 700,000 D.C. residents pay federal taxes but don't have equal representation in Congress. Mostly cloudy this afternoon. Evening showers with patchy fog tonight. Lows 30 to 36. Mostly cloudy on Saturday. Highs 47 to 52. Currently, it's cloudy and 42 degrees. Stay tuned for the Latino Media Collective. I'm Askia Muhammad. Thank you for listening to WPFW Washington and WBAI New York.
Thank you very much, Askia, for those news updates. This is WBAI New York 99.5.